Let's join together in prayer. Father God, thank you that you are the way maker. You're the miracle worker. You're the God who sees us. You're the God who knows us. Yet you are also the God that hears the very cry of our hearts, that knows the things that are difficult and hard in our lives. Yes, you're the way maker. You create ways. You are the one who oversees the world in which we were created in and the order within it. But you are also the one who speaks truth into it. You are the one who guides us when we are in need of help. You are the one who provides ways when we don't know what to do. You, God, are a powerful, almighty, heavenly Father that loves us more than we can imagine and has work that you want to accomplish in our lives. And so, God, we pray that you would grow us up in you, that you would strengthen us along the ways in which we live so that we can bring you glory and know that you, God, are high and lifted up, and we bring you praise. Even now, we bring you praise so that the world might know that you are worthy of it all. There's nothing else on the face of this earth that is more deserving to receive praise than you. And so, God, we come to you this morning humbly, with burdens on our hearts, with thoughts on our minds, with curiosities that confound us, and things that really just are struggles in our brains and our minds, because the world needs you. And I pray, Father, that we might be witnesses for your glory even now. God, I realize that there are things that are going on around us that we just don't completely understand. We don't understand all the ways in which the world works, but we do know this, that you are a good, good Father. There is none like you. And we have chosen to follow you. And we pray that you would give us strength and wisdom in the midst of it. God, I realize that in times such as these, we need your touch, we need your wisdom, we need your grace. Lord, for people in this room right now, Lord, they are preparing for things. Aaron is preparing for surgery tomorrow. And we come before you and we ask that your hand of mercy be upon her, that your healing would come quickly, that there would be success in this surgery, and that you, God, would bring fullness of strength and mobility in the very near future. It's difficult to endure surgery, but God, you are good in the midst of it all, and we trust that you will bring healing to Aaron quickly, and we thank you, Father, for the way in which you work. God, there's others in this room that just need a reminder of your presence and a reminder of your work in their lives. We think of our friend John, who's been dealing with much. And God, we just ask that your hand of mercy would be upon him, that your healing would come to his life, and that you, Lord, would give him strength. We pray the same for Julie as well, knowing, God, that our bodies go through much, and we need your strength. And so we pray for that today and asking God that you would work. We pray for our dear brother, Dwayne, and the difficulties that he's had in his body. We pray for strength for him. We pray for his wife, Lori, and the good news that her sodium levels have returned to where they're supposed to be, and that she is recovering well and regaining strength. But Lord, we also know that a surgery that was supposed to happen has been postponed. And we pray for the endurance and the strength in the midst of that. We pray for your healing and your work in their lives. We pray for our brother Brett and his body, knowing, Lord, that you are good in the midst of difficulty, but knowing also, Lord, that you are the one who is the promise keeper. And you promise that you will be with us and you will be with Brett, and we thank you for that and for his life. And God, there are others that we want to just express gratitude and thanks for, and we want to just offer, Lord, that you would walk with us and endure with us. We think of John that is over on this side of the room that is in need of just continuing strength as his body recovers from surgery last year and cancer, and just the endurance that goes on in life that is so needed and so desired that life would return back to normal. And we think of Kathy and her body and just asking God that you would continue to be with her as she endures much. God, you are a God that walks with us when we endure so much, and we're so very grateful for it. And Lord, I know that there's probably folks that I have not thought of this morning. But we know, Lord, that you see all, you know all, you are all-knowing and all-powerful. And so, God, if there's something that we have forgotten today, we ask that your hand of mercy will fall upon your children in this way today. God, you are good in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of pain, in the midst of joy and happiness. You are good. That does not change. And we thank you for that. We thank you that you see us, that you know us, and that you work in our lives. You are a great and loving God. And for that, we give you praise. We give you glory. And we worship you in all that we do. We pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Are you weary of Thanksgiving this morning? I hope not. I hope not. Because we're just halfway through the month and we have an opportunity to give thanks every single day. Amen. Amen. That's right. Yes, we do. And so we've endured a few exercises over the last couple of weeks. First week, we asked you to write a thank you note to someone who has encouraged your spiritual life. And I hope that you were able to do that. And I hope that you have sent those thank you notes out so that they receive them. The other thing that we invite you to do is we set a leaf on every single chair in the sanctuary, and you had an opportunity to write something that you were thankful for, and then hang it up on the tree. And we got a tree that is pretty well covered. Although maybe there's something that you're thankful for today that you didn't write down last week. You have my permission to write some more thank yous and write them on leaves and stick them up on the tree. But we also have another opportunity for you today. So in the back hallway on one high top, we will have a couple of boxes. They're baskets. They don't look like boxes at all, but they're baskets. And they have some thank you notes in there. They look very similar to the ones that you had the opportunity to grab a couple of weeks ago. And these thank you notes are designed for you to take a particular card and write a thank you note to someone here in the church. Here's why. There are a lot of people that make this church what it is. In fact, it takes all of us to do the work of the church, to be the church. And I would invite you to write a thank you note to someone who is behind the scenes, maybe serving in a way that they just do it because they love the church, they love the Lord, and they want to be a part of what's going on. And I just invite you to write a thank you note. Maybe it's to the folks that work in the garden out there. Nobody knows that they're there, but you saw them one day, and you thought, you know what? They don't get a thank you. Write them a thank you note. Maybe it's the welcome team. Somebody on the welcome team that gets here early, makes coffee or does something. They cut up treats or something like that because I encourage them, because the more that goes around, the better. And so that's why we cut cookies in half so that everybody gets a bite. I know I'm frugal, but there are people that get here early to do that, and then they put on their most smiling faces. I hope that they're smiling when you get here, and they're opening the door for you and saying, "Welcome, we're glad that you're here today." Maybe it's one of those folks that does that. Maybe it's someone that ministers to our kids and serves our kids. Maybe it's someone who you notice they sign up and bring food all the time out of their own willingness. Maybe write them a thank you note. Maybe it's somebody else. Maybe it's somebody that sits on our mission team or our outreach team or something along those lines. Or maybe you just want to write a thank you note to a board member, but you don't know their name. So guess what? Come and find me, and I will help you figure out their names. But here's what I want you to do. I really want you to think of someone in the church that you can thank, because they're a part of the body. And sometimes not everybody gets noticed. And I would just encourage you to write a thank you note to them. Now, we also have a box that is at the welcome table. I keep saying box, but it's a basket. And this one's a small round one. If you would like me to deliver the thank you card, put it in that little basket, write their name on it, and then I will deliver it to them, okay? If you want to give it to them today or next week, you can put it in your Bible, because you're bringing your Bible every Sunday, right? And then you can hand it to them and you can just thank them for what they do. It's simple. It's a little bit maybe out of your comfort zone, but I want to encourage you to think about that and maybe take care of that today. Any questions? Fantastic. We're moving on. We're so glad that you are here today, and I'm pumped that you're part of Living Hope Wesleyan Church. Things that Jesus didn't say. This is week number 3, and things that Jesus never said. First one is this. He never said, "Whoever does the will of my Father will always get the best parking spots." He didn't say that. Not one bit. He didn't say, "If you lose your life for my sake, you will always look good in a swimsuit." That was borderline inappropriate, right? I know. The third one is, "But seek first the kingdom of God and you'll never experience a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day." Jesus never said anything like that. Jesus never said anything about always being healthy. He never said anything that following him will lead you to become wealthy. He never said that you'll never experience buffering while watching your favorite TV show or movie or doing anything like that. And he never even said getting what you want when you want it. He never said that will happen in your life, that you'll just automatically get what you want whenever you want it. It's not like Burger King or McDonald's or anything like that. But what did Jesus really say? In John 16, verses 20 through 21, if you have your Bibles, open them up. You can utilize your hard copy, or you can bring in your phone and have your Bible on the app. Something that I'm just going to draw your attention to, and then we'll move on, is that if you're a user of the Bible app, they are approaching 1 billion downloads over the course of the since 2006. The 20 year is that 20. 20 years that they've been utilizing that, 1 billion downloads and on devices and things like that. And they're having a celebration on Monday that you can find, where there's some speakers, some musicians and things like that, and they're having a celebration that's taking place. I could give you the link, but I don't know where it's at. So I just see it on my Bible app whenever I open my Bible, and it pops up. So if you're interested, go to Bible.com, and I believe that you will be able to find a link, and you'll be able to experience that on Monday at 7 p.m. Central Time. The Bible app is just kind of cool, but something that I don't want you to do is not utilize your regular Bible. I think there's something good and valid about this, but the Bible itself is getting in the hands of people that may not have access to it, and they're getting it in their language. And that's pretty amazing that all across the world, this thing, the digital version, is available for everybody. Anyways, that was my little commercial. We're going to continue on. John 16, verse 20 through 21 says this: I tell you the truth. You will weep and mourn, while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. You will mourn and weep. The status of your heart will be broken, and the world will rejoice. That's not a very good thought, is it? I mean, think about it for just a minute, that your heart will be broken over the course of time. You will experience pain, you will experience difficulty, and the world might rejoice. It might not be rejoicing in your pain, but the world will rejoice. And something interesting in the following section, as we get going into this passage of scripture, Jesus is going to use a familiar phrase, and the word is "in the world." That's the phrase. And as we're not going to study the entire section, but that phrase, "in the world," is used 19 times in the rest of chapter 16 and 17. And really, it is something that we should probably pay attention to, because I think Jesus is pointing to how the world struggles, the world is experiencing difficulty, and the world is not something that we need to necessarily be a part of. But Jesus says, while the world rejoices, you will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. Verse 21, it says, a woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come, but when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. Is that true? Yeah, I think it is. I remember after our oldest was born, and in the moment as he's being born, the doctor is saying that this child is fearfully and wonderfully made. He is proclaiming that over our kids, said over both of them. But shortly after, Andrea was like, "So when can we do this again?" I'm like, "Are you crazy, lady? Seriously?" But isn't that the truth, that in the moment there's lots of pain, but once a woman holds that bundle of joy in their arm for the very first time, it's like all that stuff went away, and the only thing that you focus in on is that bundle of joy And then they cry for the very first time, and it just is all done from there, right? Just kidding. Just kidding. Bad joke. But the idea is that pain sometimes is short-lived. Sometimes. Not always. John 16:33 continues and says this, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Did you hear the promise in all of that? In this world you will have trouble. Challenges are certain. Pain is unavoidable. Suffering is inevitable. And as followers of Jesus, we will be persecuted. Trouble will find you. Hurt will come your way. You'll be overlooked. Rejection is bound to happen. And that's a real downer of a message today, isn't it? It is. And wherever you find yourself at this morning, I don't know where you might find yourself at. I don't know what your current circumstance is, what your joy level is, or whatever it might be. But whether you find yourself in a moment where your confidence is shaken, or you find yourself in a difficult time financially, or maybe there's a health crisis that is really difficult in and of themselves. They are very difficult. Or maybe it's a kid issue or a child or something like that that's making decisions that just are not what you would recommend. And that is from very young to older kids. It could be that you've really been experiencing more burdens and you're worn out. You've been feeling beat down and distraught. It's times like these where questions that we might have get uttered, and it's questions such as, God, where are you? You ever had one of those moments where it's difficult, it's hard, it's painful, and you say, God, where are you? Or you may utter something along the lines of, Jesus, I'm doing this thing. I'm doing the church thing. I'm following you. I'm learning. I'm trying my best. I'm doing everything I can, but pain still happens. Hurt still happens. And I am beat down, broken, hurting. And you say, God, what's up? Maybe you're in that moment now. Maybe you have been in that moment before, but there is difficulty in life. And if pain is the promise, there's got to be a purpose, right? I mean, think about it. If pain is the promise, if difficulty, if heartache, if heartbreak is the promise, then there's got to be a purpose. There's got to be something that is good out of this. I mean, it can't be that it's just meaningless, right? I hope not. I want to talk to you about two purposes, two ideas, two things I want to chat about. And the first is this, is that your faith is proven when you experience troubles, difficulty, hurt, pain, etc. Your faith is proven when you experience pain, troubles, hurt, difficulty, etc. In AD 60 to 65, somewhere around there, there was a guy that was the emperor of Rome. His name was Nero, and he was a bad guy. In fact, he was so bad that he started a fire, supposedly, that burned most of Rome down, and he blamed it on the Christians. And because he blamed it on the Christians, he rounded them up, as many of them as he could, and some he clothed the Christians in animal skins and set wild dogs upon them, and you can imagine what happened. The smell of the animal skins drew the animals to them, and wasn't good. Then some of them, Nero, liked to have parties, and so he threw some parties, and in order to light the evenings and the night times, he didn't use regular lanterns and lamps and things like that. He actually covered the Christians in a type of oil and then tied them to a post, multiple posts, and then lit the posts on fire. And you can imagine what happened to the Christians. So in the midst of a party, you're probably having these wailing screams of pain and hurt and all of that. Not a very good picture, right? Not a very good picture at all. Horrible. What's the purpose? What's the good that comes out of that is this. In 1 Peter, who was alive at this time, writing to Christians, he says this: "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." And this is in direct context to what was going on in Rome. And it says this. It says, "These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor." Sorry, I didn't have that in there. "Though you may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressive and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Peter is talking about how when we experience difficulty, when we experience pain, when we experience trials of all sorts, of all kinds, may we be proved, may our faith be proved genuine, and may it result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So when we experience difficulty, when we experience pain, when we are going through things that are beyond our control, beyond our ability to endure, that is where our faith is proved to be genuine, proved to be real, proved to be fruitful. Yet, if that is true, then the opposite would also be true. That when sometimes people experience these difficulties and pain and heartache and heartbreak and all of that, their faith is not necessarily proved to be true, but then they tend to walk away. They tend to say, you know what, that hurts, and therefore that is not something that I want to endure. And they find themselves, because I'm going through pain, because I'm going through difficulty, less engagement with the God of the universe that can see them through, and they withdraw and slowly sometimes walk away. And unfortunately, I think that you and I could probably see how that happens, because probably at some point in time, we have done it ourselves. Where when we've endured much, instead of digging in to Scripture, digging into our faith, digging into our prayers, digging into our relationship with Jesus, we withdraw for a period of time and we struggle greatly. But Peter is saying, when you experience trials, we can dig in and we can, so that we can have faith that is greater worth than gold. The issue is that when everything on the outside looks good, everything looks put together, the inside sometimes is not all there. And that's what we have to strive for. That's what we have to endure for, is when trials come and when hurt takes place, when turbulent moments come, it's not just that we're doing the Jesus thing, but that we are really investing in. And typically, we can see what Jesus talks about in the parable of the sower, where we really experience a person and the seed that is scattered in their hearts. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 13, 3 through 8. Then he told them many things in parable, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what is sown. Now, it didn't happen often, but it did happen occasionally where Jesus was, he gave the disciples and those that were listening the explanation of the parable. And this is one of those moments. And so hear this and read it up on the screen where we hear Jesus defining what this parable really means. Verse 18, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes, because of the world, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of his life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what is sown. Jesus explains it, that the rocky soil, the thorny soil, the soil or the seeds that fall on the path that have no ability to get down into the dirt are the ones that struggle the most. And so our responsibility for ourselves is to till, to clean up, to get rid of the thorns, to get rid of the rocks, so that the word that is sown in our lives will grow deep. Because Jesus says that I have told you these things, John 16, verse 33, so that in me you have peace, because there will be trouble in the world. So who are you? Who are you in? Are you in Jesus? Because that equals peace. That passes understanding. That equals peace, that when difficulties are coming, and they will, we know who we can rely on, and that gives us peace. But when we are in the world, we experience trouble. Trouble that will disrupt everything that we have worked hard for. Trouble that will tear us down and not build us up. Who are you in? Who are you in? In the last 6 months or so, there's been a song that, I don't know if you listen to Christian music or not. That's a topic for another conversation, but I really enjoy it. And I have been listening to a song that is called Hard Fought Hallelujah, written by Brandon Lake. And maybe you recognize the song, maybe you don't. But I want to read the lyrics to you because the lyrics are powerful and strong. and they kind of connect with what we're talking about today. Here's just a section of it. It says, I've wrestled with the darkness, but I'm trying to reach the light. Yeah, the struggle keeps me honest, and it breaks down the walls of my pride, because faith isn't proven like gold till it's been through the fire. My head, heart, and hands are feeling heavy, but that's when I lift them just a little higher. I'll bring my heartfelt, been through hell, hallelujah. I'll bring my storm-tossed, torn sail, story to tell, hallelujah. God, you've been patient. God, you've been gracious, faithful. Whatever I'm feeling or facing, I'll bring my hard-fought, heartfelt, it as well, hallelujah. Did you catch where it says, the struggle keeps me honest. I'm wrestling with the darkness. My head, heart, hands are feeling heavy. That's us. That's the experience that we're feeling. That's the heaviness that we're bringing. So take those things and bring a heartfelt, hallelujah to the Lord. You can take him the difficulty. You can take him the pain. He's got great big shoulders that is willing to hold those things for you. Bring him a hard fought hallelujah. The second thought that I want to talk about, and we're going to end with this once I talk about it, not like once I say it, but we're going to talk a little bit about it, okay? Just so that we're on the same page. The second thought is that difficulty, struggles, pain, bad days, hurt, all of that prepares you for your purpose, okay? Prepares you for your purpose. We have to remember that these things that happen in our lives, these difficulties, these hurts, these broken hearts, whatever you want to call them, these things are not just something that is happening to you, but they are something that God is doing in you. Hear the difference. They're not just something that's happening to you, but they are something that God is doing in you. I've shared with you many times over the course of years that I like to run. I used to not say that. I used to just say I run. And but now I've gotten to the place where I like it. It's weird, and you can say, yep, that is weird, Pastor, and we're okay with it. But I do. I like it. I like to get out there. I like to feel the pain. I don't know. That's weird too. But anyways, I enjoy it. I endure it. I try to do my best through it. But there are moments where I really have to push myself to get out there and do my exercising. And that's one of the main ways that I try to exercise and stay on top of things. But the reality is that if all I ever do is run 1 mile, that's all I will ever do is run 1 mile. And if I run the same pace for that 1 mile, all I will ever do is run that 1 mile at that same pace. I won't do much more than that. In order for me to participate in a 5K, which I'm doing in a couple of weeks, and you can pray for me because I'm running with my kids and they will obliterate me, and that's okay. There's no competition. There's a lovely competition, and I will come in last. But the idea is that in order for me to get to that next stage to run a 5K, which is 3-point-some miles, I actually have to push myself beyond the 1 mile in order to run 3.1 or 3.2, whatever the actual thing is. So I have to get there. I have to run harder. I have to run longer. I have to go up and down hills. I have to go the distance in order to do that. And so I actually need to deal with the pain of the running in order to do the race. so that I can finish the race, so that I can start it and do well and actually get through it. And it's kind of like when you want to exercise, you actually have to pick up the weights and build a little bit of strength, some resistance, because that's what the weights do. They resist you in order to strengthen your muscles. I have to go up and down hills so that I have the build the resistance within my body in order to accomplish going up and down the hills. And that's what is happening when we work through and we endure the difficulties and the pain. It is preparing you. It is helping you to resist. It is helping you to go through so that you are strengthened to face what is next. Does that make sense? James says, in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, he says, consider it joy, pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. When you let these things help your perseverance, you move on to maturity, you move on in growth, and you experience so much more. It prepares you for your purpose. It's doing a work in you when you are experiencing these things for what is coming next. What really helps us get better in our lives what helps us actually get better? We all experience different things over the course of different time. If we were to say that you're an athlete, you're a business worker, you're a teacher, you work at engineering, whatever it is that you do, if you experienced compliment after compliment after compliment, and you experienced growth with zero pain, would you actually get better at what you're doing? Do you think Michael Jordan became a great basketball player because he succeeded in everything that he did? No. What actually helps us get better is failure, rejection, pain, hurt. Resistance equals struggle, and that helps us get better. And could it be that God is using God's preparation is packaged, God's preparation for your life and my life is packaged in hurt, in rejection, in pain, in ridicule? I remember I've not always been a public speaker. Okay, I do that now for a living because I get to preach to you awesome people all the time. But when I was in high school, I tried to give a sermon, not a sermon, I tried to give a speech for junior class president, because our high school still did that way back when. And so I thought, I really want to be junior class president. So speech day came around, and I gave that speech, and I talked about how, not very proud of this, but I'm going to be really open and honest with you. I talked about how I broke my wrist because I was an idiot, and I jumped off of a really big box that was a wooden box to dunk a basketball. Not a smart idea for a 5'4" dude jumping off a tall box and dunking a basketball. You hang on the rim because that's what you don't do, and you fall forward, and then you fall backwards, and then you slam right onto the ground, and you break your wrist and probably broke the other one, but you were too proud to admit it, and you cut your eye, and then you had to go to the emergency room, and it was a great story. But it had nothing to do with being senior class or junior class president. So guess who didn't win? Me. I learned that in order to actually communicate something, you actually have to prepare. You actually have to know what you're going to say and say it in a way that is compelling. And I didn't do that. I tried again for my senior year to be senior class president. And guess who didn't have anything compelling again to say? That was me. Guess who didn't win again? Rejection, failure, pain helped me get better. Helped me experience that I could actually figure out compelling things to communicate, truth. And now look where God's got me, in a place where I communicate. Hopefully it's good. We'll see. But that's the idea. That's the idea. These things that we experience help us get better, help us get stronger, help us to endure, even in the hurt, even in the pain. We may not be able to stand up with underneath it all, but God gives us the power in order to do so. Think about Peter, our beloved apostle that we know did great things. But when he walked on water, he sank, right? Because he took his eyes off Jesus. He fed the 5,000, yet he doubted that God, that Jesus could do what he really said he was going to do. And then he denied Christ after being so bold and saying, I will go to death with you. And then he denied Christ. And then he stuck his foot in his mouth countless times. Yet all of these things prepared Peter to lead after the resurrection, where he spoke boldly at the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit moved in mighty ways and 3,000 were added to their number that day. And then he led the early church. Peter endured pain, ridicule, and so much before he even got to the point of being able to lead and speaking boldly. And so when we think about all that we've endured, when we think about all that we've experienced, when we think about the struggles and the difficulties, you haven't just been turned down, but you've been toughened up. You haven't just been offended, but your soul has been purified. The loneliness that sometimes we feel is more about how we are being taught to trust God and Him alone. When we experience betrayal and heartache and hurt, we're learning to have a capacity for love and forgiveness. And it might feel like a setback. It might feel as if we are just being pushed down. But really what we are experiencing is that we are being set up for God to show up and show off, because there's a purpose in what he wants to do. There's a purpose for what he wants to do in your life. There's always something that we can grow from. There's always something that we can be strengthened for. And when we endure things, when we endure pain, the testimony of God working in us is what is told. Even when we're young, even when we're old, the testimony of enduring, because God's story is more powerful than anything else. The good news of the gospel is not that we've been delivered or rescued from hurt and from difficult days. The gospel is that Jesus delivers us from our sins, dying on the cross, because Jesus said in John 16:33, take heart, I have overcome the world. Take heart. That's what we're supposed to do. So take heart in the midst of your pain. Take heart in your difficulty. Take heart in your persevering, because he has overcome. Amen? Amen. Father God, we are yours. We are the children of your pasture, of your flock. We are your sheep that you are guiding, and we come into your place of worship with rejoicing and thanksgiving, knowing that you, God, are the one that we are drawn to. You, Lord, are the one who encourages us and strengthens us. And we give you praise and glory for what you are doing in our lives. And I pray, Lord, that we would take these two things that we have looked at today, that we would be reminded that there is a purpose that you have for us, that we are being strengthened, that we are being encouraged, and that we are being prepared. And God, may you also just drive us to the place where you are reminding us that our faith, when it endures much, we are able to prove that our faith is real. And so, Lord, guide us. Help us to stand within the struggle for your glory and your glory alone. We give you all the praise and all the glory because you are worth it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks so much for joining us in worship today. It's a joy to be with you. Just a reminder for you that out in the hallway, right by the mission bulletin board, we'll have some thank you notes there for you. We'll have some writing utensils there as well. We also have some writing utensils by the tree. Take a thank you note. Write a thank you to someone that you recognize that is working in the church or serving in the church, and let them know that you appreciate them. You can put the card in the basket, or you can deliver it to them personally. Thanks so much. And I just encourage you, think bigger than just the routine of Thanksgiving as we approach Thanksgiving this year. Let's think about what he has done in our lives. Let's stand and let's close our time together with singing.